We're completely finished with the gender class that we wrapped up last week. And so this week we get a palate cleanser, something completely different to segue into whatever comes next. We needed that, and you're tired of hearing me anyway. My dear friend Brandon Price is here. Brandon and I met through a strange set of circumstances when we were teenagers at a Bible camp in the Sierra Mountains in California, and then never heard from each other again. And then as adults, through some random God-infused coincidence, ended up sitting next to each other at a preacher's luncheon in Tulsa, where he had begun working. The Broken Arrow Church of Christ sponsors his work in the Ukraine, and I had just started my job at Glenpool and reacquainted with each other, and I've been trying to get people to give him money ever since. So in the spirit of that, we're going to have a presentation today from Brandon about the work they do in the Ukraine. I don't have a lot of missionaries come in and give presentations. I'm kind of picky about it. And Brandon is one that always has an open invitation because his work is wonderful. His presentation is easy to listen to and enjoy. And certainly something I want as many Christians as possible to know about, if for no other reason than that it just broadens your horizons about what Christianity looks like in places besides Ada, Oklahoma, besides the United States. It's a very different world out there, and what Brandon's doing and has been doing for quite a lot of years is wonderful. He's here with Katie and Justice, and glad to have them. And he's going to do our class this morning and then do a brief ministry spotlight at the beginning of the service in a little bit for those of you that might have missed Bible class, which I guess you wouldn't be here if you missed Bible class, but whoever those people are, they know who they are. I'm going to say a word of prayer and stop embarrassing myself, and then I'm going to hand it over to Brandon. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day and the blessings of it, for the opportunity to be with your people. And we thank you for Brandon and Katie and Justice, and for all the work that you do around the world with people we know and don't know. We thank you for the power of your gospel to shed your light in far off places that we can't imagine. And we thank you for the Christians who are faithful in those places in ways that we need to learn about. We pray that you would continue to help missions in all places where it takes place, and that we would have a heart for mission and continue to spread that gospel of yours around the world. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have a choice, but I'm glad to be here. Very glad to tell you about a place that means so much to me and has for a very long time. But first, I just want to introduce ourselves. We're Brandon, Katie, and Justice Price. This is what we look like when we take family portraits. This is what we look like before we rob a bank, which we've been looking like a lot lately. Been doing that a lot lately. We have been married 16 years. Our son is 4 years old. And Ukraine has been a part of my life since 2002 when I went there as an AIM student through the Sunset International Bible Institute right out of high school. And I have been there a total of 13 years. And let me just point out a few things to you. Ukraine is right there. It's the highlighted one that says Ukraine. Ukraine is the largest country that is fully inside of Europe, so it's second only to a little part of Russia. But it is the largest country in Europe, about the size of Texas for a frame of reference, and sits right there on the border of Eastern Europe, and that is its lot in life, to sit right in the middle of the struggle between the East and the West, and that continues to be true today. For 8 years, my wife and I lived in the city of Kharkiv, which is... Oh, does it have a laser pointer? No. Okay. Or does it? Huh? I don't know if you can see it. No, I can't even see it. Oh, right there. Kharkiv is in the northeast, and we lived there 8 years in a church planting work, and towards the end of that time, someone from the Ukrainian Bible Institute invited me to take over as he and his wife were going to transition back to the States. And after a lot of prayer and seeking advice, we decided that maybe this is where we're supposed to go. So for 2 years, we've been in the capital city of Kyiv, which is the most central one that's up there. And for the last year, I have been the new director of the Ukrainian Bible Institute. So today, I just want to share with you about what happens at the Ukrainian Bible Institute. It's a small school that's been around for a long time now, and it's doing really big things. And so I love to talk about the things I love in my life, including my family, Ukraine, and now this institute is as well. And so let me tell you about UBI, Ukrainian Bible Institute. To give you a little bit of its history so you know where it's come from, it began 25 years ago this fall. We just completed our 24th year, looking forward to the big 25. At that time in Ukraine, it was a big time for evangelism. The wall had fallen not too long before, and the Soviet Union had collapsed not too long before. And so a lot of churches were going over to Ukraine and starting new works. And as they baptized thousands of people and started many, many churches, there were a lot of men standing up saying, "We want to be the preacher," but they didn't know anything about the Bible, really. And so this little Bible study school was started to try to help train these new eager preachers. And after a couple of years, that school grew and was infused with some help from the Sunset International Bible Institute out of Lubbock, and it became the Ukrainian Bible Institute. So students come for 2 years, they study full time, and are supported by sponsors in the States. We have some full-time Ukrainian staff. We have some part-time Ukrainian teachers that come. But a lot of the classes happen and always have happened by visiting American teachers that come from either Sunset, other schools, or simply just churches. And men and preachers with experience come over and share. So that is a big part of how it works. UBI isn't just Bible Institute, though. It represents, kind of, it's a conduit for a lot of ministry, for a lot of benevolent work, connecting churches in the States with works in Ukraine. It itself has been involved in a lot of orphanage work and hospitals and partnered with a lot of different groups, and really it's just been a cornerstone entity for the Churches of Christ around Ukraine. So let me go back. Here. The school actually began in the city of Donetsk, which is the most southeastern one that's marked there, and moved about 5 or 6 years ago to the capital, just to give you an idea of where we are. So it began September 1997 and grew and was eventually able to purchase its own building. They had their offices, their classrooms, the second floor was the student dormitories, and things were going well. But 2014 changed a few things. And I don't know how many of you remember Ukraine being all over the news here, which was a very weird experience for us in Ukraine, when secret Russian soldiers came into the south of Ukraine and lopped off the bottom part, the Crimea Peninsula, and some separatists were really encouraged, motivated to break off the eastern part of Ukraine, two provinces, the Donetsk province, Lugansk province, and things were being destroyed, people were being killed. This was the brand new airport, I think it was 2 years old, and it was just demolished very quickly at the very beginning of that. So those two on the right there, on the eastern border, Lugansk and Donetsk, they said, you know what, we don't want to be part of Ukraine anymore. We are now a People's Republic. And it's remained that way since 2014. So Ukraine lost Crimea there at the bottom, lost those two sides. And the people say, is everything over? Has it calmed down? It hasn't. It's just the same news, so it's no longer news. Now, there's no longer the land grab that Putin seemed to be having or anything like that. But they're always fighting around along those borders there, during a ceasefire, blaming each other for whoever broke the ceasefire, using that as an excuse to start things again. Kind of like brothers in the backseat of a car, just like poking at each other all the time. And as soon as you think it's over, it starts again. But basically, things have been stably unstable for the last several years. until the buildup of troops a few months ago where everyone was wondering if it was going to start again. Thankfully, it did not start again, so we're just back to stably unstable. Unstably stable. So during this time, UBI was forced to close. They were in the epicenter of where all this stuff was happening, and people fled, and what really was the Bible Belt of Ukraine faced its Acts 8 moment, and people just went everywhere. They lost their homes, they got on buses, they got on trains as long as those were running, and landed somewhere. And that included a lot of our UBI graduates who were working in the area. But where they went, they landed, and they kept working. And I want to give you a few encouraging examples of that. This man is named Fedya and his wife Nastya Chernichkin. They were working in Donetsk, forced to run for their lives, and ended up in the city of Poltava, landed, and started immediately working, trying to help others who were like them running. And there was no church in the city. They began a church, and that picture on the right there is them celebrating just a few months ago their 6-year anniversary. The church has grown, their work has grown, their influence in the community has grown, and they've actually already sent students to UBI, which is pretty cool. This is Dima Grishuk on the left, and he is lead of a ministry called Let's Love. He was in one of the very first classes of the Ukrainian Bible Institute. He's actually one of our full-time teachers as well, but he is also a full-time minister and leads this ministry called Let's Love. When they were in Donetsk before the war, it was a ministry that reached out to at-risk youth and families that were in trouble. But after the whole organization got spread out all over Ukraine, they immediately started trying to help the internally displaced families and continue to do so today. This picture was from about a month ago where they go down to the contested borders where all the fighting is to basically what have become ghost towns almost, that are filled with people that didn't have anywhere to go, that have just stayed, kids that don't go to school anymore, or school's just not really happening. And so they bring supplies down there, and they've done camps for the kids that are down there, and they continue to work, and he works with us in the school. This is Sasha and Nastya Nikolaenko on the far right, Sasha and his wife Nastya. They are dear friends of mine. I've known him since he was 10 years old. And when I first went to Ukraine as an AIM student, he went to UBI. He worked with that Let's Love program until they were spread out, and they ended up landing where we were in Kharkiv for those 8 years, began a youth ministry work to these refugee kids, and that youth work has grown. They've moved on from that city, but the youth group is still strong and involved and active. And the boy standing right next to them in the center on the right picture, he's one of our new students at the Ukrainian Bible Institute. He has one more year left, and he's planning to move back home to the city of Kharkiv and start working with the youth as he pursues whatever else he's going to do in his life. So very encouraging. UBI looked around for a while. They took a whole semester off trying to figure out what are we going to do. They looked at several different cities and finally decided that the capital city of Kyiv made the most sense for the school. And so they moved there. This is our current building. This is where we rent a spot. One of the heartbreaks of this whole thing for us as a school was losing that property we had, losing all the classrooms and the dorms. And now in Kyiv, our operating costs have tripled. Over three times, not only because the city is significantly more expensive, but now we rent because we lost it all in Southeast. So that was very frustrating, but it's been working, it's been operating and moving forward. So very much like forest fires that just kind of wipe out everything, they also bring new life. And that's definitely been true for the churches in Ukraine and for the ministers of Ukraine that have been spread all over the country and continue to do awesome work. And many of them are our alumni. So we continue to work with them, which is very encouraging. So that's where UBI's come from. I want to share a little bit with you about where we are now, who we are now. This was our student body as of February. We just had graduation. We graduated 8 of them. So we had 16. We graduated 8, and now we have 10. That is the math. If you have questions about it afterwards, I can explain it to you. But those were our students, and a great group of students. This year has been different. I have to try to explain something strange that happened in Ukraine this last year. There was this virus that kind of shut, you're laughing probably because you just can't even imagine, shut the whole country down. And it was just a mess. We had to wear masks everywhere we went. Stores were closed. There was crazy lockdown. It's really hard to explain. I know you can't understand. It's these foreign problems. It's trying really hard to bring over here into our context. This word up here, for those of you who haven't studied Russian since high school, says coronavirus. 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 It's the big word we hear, or COVID, as everybody says it, COVID, COVID. Big challenge for everybody, for you, for us. There's nothing new to say about how hard it was, but just to explain how hard it was for the Bible Institute. Obviously, you know, COVID was a huge challenge for education in particular. How do you keep teaching and how do you make sure your students are doing well? It pushed us to grow in a lot of different ways. It pushed us to think differently about how we do things, as it did all of us. Before the lockdown, before the virus, this is what our morning chapel times looked like. And we meet 30 minutes before classes start every morning. And this is what they looked like afterwards, when everybody was at home and spread across our part of the city. We became proficient in accommodating distance learning. We were pushed to do that. What else do we have here? Some of us more ready for that than others. This is Sasha. He's one of our full-time teachers and works with the church we're a part of, the minister of the church we're a part of. He's kind of what you might call anti-technology, but he's gotten very good at doing what he's doing right there, teaching classes both in the church and in the school. You will notice he does not have a high-quality USB microphone on the top of his computer that we bought for him because he doesn't think it's that important. So we bought all the cameras for the staff, we bought the microphones for the staff, we put it up, and every few days, it disappears. And we're like, Sasha, put your microphone back on. And he's like, okay, I need it, huh, I need it. And then it goes a couple days, it disappears again. So I recorded him while he had no microphone, then I recorded him after I asked him to put the microphone on, put a little file together to show him. Tin can versus radio host, and he's like, I don't hear it. But he's still doing great. He's doing a great job. This is what classes looked like for us while we were on the big lockdown. We've had to change our start times and be flexible with that. Students study from home. Or we actually were able to meet much more than we weren't able to this year, which was a blessing. We just had to follow different guidelines and all of that. But when we met, if we had our couple of Ukrainian full-time staff or me that teaches as well, class was more or less as normal. But for all of our visiting teachers, in fact, Ukrainian visiting teachers as well, they weren't able to travel and be with us. This is what class looked like, having them up on the screen. That's our small classroom. This is our big classroom, having them up on the projector. So in order to accommodate their schedules, if we had a teacher coming from Pacific Standard Time, they were waking up at 3:45 a.m. to teach our students in the afternoon in Ukraine. So it was a sacrifice for our students to always have their schedules just being moved around depending on who was teaching for that term, but a big sacrifice for our teachers who, even though they couldn't come in person, were still willing to be with us online. This is Sergei. He is lead of our correspondence courses, which UBI has done for several years, but he's also kind of our IT guy. He's the guy that gets everything set up. And it was around January or February, he was talking to me about how he felt like he didn't have much of a meaningful job, and did he really have a purpose at the school? He wanted to be useful. And then COVID hit, and he became our most valuable player. We went from sulking to being the most busy person we had, getting everybody set up at the school, making sure the students had their computers, everybody was aligned, being the tech support guy for every single person who couldn't figure it out for those first few months at the school and in our congregation as well. So if we're going to blame anyone, we'll blame Sergei for the problem. Another thing we've been doing apart from the virus is looking at what are we doing as a school and how are we growing, what are we changing. And UBI has always been a place where we want to be not just Bible education, but practical skills, ministry skills. And we've been trying to do that even more. And so this year, besides just our preaching classes and public speaking classes, we've tried to do even more things. We started last year a class on youth ministry, youth principles of youth ministry, how to start a youth ministry, pastoral counseling, Christian mentorship, how to teach young people, how to teach women's classes, and making sure that the ladies get, this year specifically, lots of practice doing that. It's gone extremely well. The students really respond when we talk about practical skills, and we've been really excited to see that. The last week of class this year was a five-day seminar week, and the students are in class for 3 hours at a time. And so for every day, we invited a different teacher we felt had the gift of evangelism to teach this course on practical evangelism. And we invited three of our alumni to come and share with the students. It was the first time they had been invited to come back to the school and speak, so they were really nervous and really excited about it. And the students loved hearing them all speak different about their different ministries and what they do. The man on the left, his name is Yura, and he became a Christian years ago in his hometown. There wasn't a church, and he said, we need to start a church. So they started a house church. That house church grew. All these years later, it's still there. But it was many years into working full-time and having this house church that he was given the opportunity to go study at the Bible Institute and to grow in his knowledge and his skills. And he did that, and he's been there ever since. He is a very passionate evangelist. The man in the middle, his name is Bogdan. He and his wife actually more or less replaced us when we left the city of Kharkiv that we were in. He and his wife both spent a lot of years in prison before they were married. They have a passion for prison ministry. They have a passion for rehabilitation work, ministries for people getting out of prisons, and just do that very well. And he got to speak on that. The man on the right, Victor, he and his wife graduated the school just a few years ago, and they are doing a church planting work in western Ukraine and doing a great job. And even one of their first converts was one of our graduates this year. So it's growing, developing, and exciting. We had graduation. This was towards the end of May. Last year, we didn't get to have graduation, so we had our 8 graduates this year. We invited the 6 that we had that finished last year to join us. 4 of them got to be a part of that, and we had a lovely time together. It's so nice now that it's all more or less calmed down and we can actually do things like this. I wanted to introduce them to you briefly. First, I want to tell you, this woman right here, her name is Ludmila. She is our office manager. She was also in one of the very first classes of Ukrainian Bible Institute, I think the 2nd or 3rd class. And when she became a Christian, back in Donetsk, the city of Donetsk, and before she started the school, she worked at a bakery with a lady right there who was her boss. Her name is Lena. She told Lena about the church. She told Lena about her changed life and all of these things, and Lena had no interest at all in her newfound faith. Lena was a more or less very successful businesswoman, and she lived her life the way she wanted, but she had a husband who struggled with alcoholism, which became a big struggle. Then she struggled with alcoholism, and then she developed a disease which put her in the hospital. She's become very frail. She lost an eye through it. And it was during that time she decided, if God gets me through this, I'm going to start thinking about him. So in Donetsk, still, just a few years ago, is when this happened. So she's not even technically part of Ukraine anymore. She started visiting the church that was still there meeting. And through that, decided she wanted to come to UBI to learn the Bible, to learn skills so that she could go back and continue doing that for her church there. So she is one of our graduates this year. And it's neat to see how God did that over the course of a whole lot of years. So here are our 8 graduates. That's Masha on the left. Her mother graduated last year. She's one of our graduates this year. She's from the city. She's actually from Kyiv. This is Oleg. He came to the faith through some of that Let's Love program work way back in Donetsk several years ago. He ended up landing in Kyiv throughout the whole mess with the war and ended up at the school just a couple years ago. Leon, I just told you about, that's Yegor. His brother's been through the Ukrainian Bible Institute, and his father's been through the Ukrainian Bible Institute, and he just finished. That little 11-year-old girl, who's not actually 11, just got married the other day. She is the convert of the new church plant, one of our graduates. She's married, now married to one of our other alumni, and he's doing church planting work outside of Kyiv. That's going very well. Next to her is a girl named Miroslava. She's from Kyiv that's come through some of the youth work that's been done at one of the churches. Next to her is a girl named Sveta, and she is also from Kyiv. And she was convicted once listening to her coworker talk so much about how much she loved her family and wouldn't shut up about how much she loved her family. That moment God used to convict her heart and say, why can't I talk about Jesus that much as this lady talks about her family? I would love to be able to share about Jesus the way she shares about her family. And so that motivated her to join us as well. Behind her is a man named Alexei. He's our live wire. He spent several years in prison himself and has a passion for prison work. But he's one of those students, when you think about teaching people, or you get to the end, it was graduation, he was up there saying a few words, and I thought, okay, no, he's grown a lot. Day to day, you're not sure, but after 2 years comparing who he was when he came to us and who he is now, God's done a lot in his life. So after graduation, we sat down with some of the graduates and wanted to interview them about their experience at UBI, and I was so encouraged by it that I want to share it with you. So here's a 4.5-minute video interview with our students. It is subtitled, so you gotta pay attention, because I want you to hear their voices. I want you to hear how they feel. So here we go, hopefully.
Учеба в УБІ, ну, невозможно сказать, что не понравилось. Конечно, понравилось.
И преподаватель, и каждый человек хочет о том, чтобы мы чему-то научились. Чтобы не просто мы получили какие-то знания, ну и пошли, а для того, чтобы мы эти знания научились применять.
Я стала намного дисциплинированнее, я научилась работать над собой, я научилась говорить правильно о своей вере, я могу донести людям то, во что я верю действительно.
В УБИ я научилась не то что снисходительно, а скорее всего над собой работать, опускать свою гордость и уметь из-за этого общаться со всеми людьми, которые находятся рядом.
Раньше мне было очень страшно говорить о Христе, потому что мне казалось о том, что ну, сейчас меня что-то спросят, а мне не получится ответить. А сейчас я знаю о том, что я знаю, что ответить, я знаю, как звучит вообще само Евангелие и о том, как Евангелие изменяет сердца других людей.
В УБИ, как моя любимая фраза, я научился учиться.
Самое особенное, что я приобрел в УБИ, это понимание Слова Божьего, понимание контекста, понимание исторического фона, понимание тех причин и обстоятельств, которые были тогда, и как их применять сейчас.
Большинство предметов мне понравилось, особенно таких практических, где там душепопечение у нас было, классный предмет с Крисом Джо, был еще предмет «Молодежное служение», очень, так сказать, для меня актуальный предмет. И...
К кроме изучения слова, здесь давались и такие предметы, как и общаться с людьми, евангелизация, как детей воспитывать, и уроки, как проводить. Были своего рода трудности, но, если честно, если бы мне сказали еще раз отучиться в УБИ, я бы отучилась бы, мне понравилось.
100% это дало то, что я теперь понимаю, чем я хочу заниматься. И теперь я могу служить в церкви с действительно огромными знаниями.
УБИ дало мне четкие понятия о том, кто я как христианин. И в будущем я могу спокойно это людям объяснять, говорить о том, кто я, что я делаю, из чего состоит моя жизнь.
Ты духовно так наполняешься, что хочешь потом служить. И дай Бог, я думаю, буду Господа просить, чтобы это не прошло у меня.
Я думаю, что 2 года этих были насыщенными, и они очень пролетели быстро. Не хватало бы 3-го года.
Мои планы на будущее в служении и те истины, те знания, которые я приобрел в УБИ, я хочу направить в служение реабилитации. И моя мечта – это реабилитационный центр. В общем, ты мне сюда, я заплакал. Нет.
Теперь смогу не только библейские истины изучать, а еще изучать профессии различные тоже с легкостью, я думаю. Поэтому бы мне дало очень такие хорошие навыки на мое будущее.
Еще в будущем я собираюсь заниматься юридической деятельностью и этим самым помогать церкви, потому что юристов у нас немного.
Я очень рада, что я действительно пробыла это время в изучении. Это сформировало меня как христианку. И я очень благодарна тем, кто действительно помогает, потому что это невероятное благословение.
Я очень рада, что я пошла учиться. И мне это дало, опять же, таки основную крепкую базу, на которой я потом могу дальше строить свою жизнь.
УБИ – это тот трамплин, та дверь, которая ведет в будущее. И реально ясное, четкое будущее – служить Богу.
I hope that was encouraging to you. That encourages me a lot, a whole lot, because I didn't tell him what to say. I wasn't even there for it. So I saw it, I'm like, fantastic. I'm glad that this is true for you. You see a whole big range of what UBI is. Some people here just refer to it as that preacher training school over in Ukraine, but it's always been so much more than that. And I love what Miroslava said, that it's given me the foundation now to go forward in my life, or what Yegor said, that I've learned how to learn here. I've learned skills that will benefit me the rest of my life. I love hearing them share those things. So UBI is currently in a good spot. It's doing well, doing what it's always done, teaching the Bible, training for ministry. But as we look to the future, we are thinking about what is the future for UBI? Who are we as we close out almost 25 years? Who do we want to be the next 25 years? And the reason this is important to me is because Ukraine is not the same country it was 25 years ago. UBI began after the fall of the wall in the Soviet Union. People were starving for God's word. There were very few printed resources in the Russian or Ukrainian language. The internet was not the source of information that it would become not too long after that. Basically, if you wanted to study the Bible, UBI was one of the few places you could do it. It was this spiritual oasis in the middle of a desert. But 25 years later, things are very different. Christian churches are no longer the novelty that they once were. A whole generation and a half of kids have grown up in, more or less in a similar U.S. situation where there's a new, different church on every other street corner. The Bible is not the rare commodity that it once was. I know a man who became a preacher because he went to a campaign the Americans were having, and he went there simply because he wanted to see the Bible for real, in real life, because he'd always heard about it, never seen it. Those days are long gone. Our churches are filled with grandmas who have their smartphones in their pockets and are using different translations as they follow along. There are many Bible study resources available to everybody online in the Russian or even Ukrainian language. Churches are streaming their worship services. If they weren't a year and a half ago, they are now for sure. So really this dry desert has become this ocean of information. And so can UBI stand as a lighthouse in that, now that the oasis is gone? A light of biblical truth to those who are seeking, and not just those who want to come and be preachers or to learn their Bible more so they'll be better preachers. A light to churches, a light to alumni that are doing the work but often feel so tossed around by the storms that are out there. Teaching the practical skills we want them to have. So as UBI is looking to its next 25 years, we're asking these questions. We're asking, how are our students different today than they were 25 years ago? What skills do they need to reach today's Ukraine, not yesterday's Ukraine? What needs are there among the churches? We want to know who we are, be sensitive to who God wants us to be now, just like the founders of the Ukrainian Bible Institute were back then. So we are working hard at this, trying to create a vision, a clear vision, a clear strategy for the future, trying to be proactive in this new world and not reactive as the church often is. These conversations are still happening, but I just want to throw up three things that in all of our conversations we keep getting back to as we're dreaming about the future to let you know either what's happening or what we hope to happen. One is distance learning. Not sure if you've heard about that. UBI has always had a correspondence course, but it's been a week, not a lot of attention there. There's only one or two students ever really studying that way. But this last year has shown us that people want it, that we are getting used to it, for good or for bad. Now, I think UBI is always going to be special in the residential part of the school. There's something special about coming and studying at the feet of wonderful teachers, next to people doing the same. But there are more and more people that are expecting to be able to study God's Word online. And so are we ready for that? Last year, we started a youth ministry class, but because it was online, we put out an invitation on Facebook to all the churches and said, anybody want to join us? You can join us. And every day we had 10 to 20 extra students learning about youth ministry. So how can we grow? What else can we do with that? That's one of the questions we're asking. Secondly, this is not something we're thinking of doing. It's something we've been doing. It's a partnership with a local university, secular university, that several years ago a woman at the university wanted to start a Christian degree program at this university, an experimental thing. And because they needed students, they came to us and said, we will take your students' two-year Bible diplomas, say that was a four-year bachelor's degree, and let them come to do a two-year master's program with us in a secular degree program. Sounds fishy. It's very Ukrainian, but it's very exciting because our students, many of whom have no real formal education, leave the Bible school having a passion for ministry and wanting to do things, but not having a lot of access to do so. This allows them to study for two more years and say, I have my master's degree in teaching, which opens so many more doors, especially many more than back in the day. You could just show up to an orphanage and just say, hey, can I play with the kids? And they're like, sure, whatever. They don't do that anymore. You have to say, this is why, this is who I am, this is what I can do. And so this is already benefiting our students, and we're wondering, how can we grow this? What could change? How could UBI help our students grab onto this? Miroslava said she's planning on going to study law. A couple of the other students are planning to start this year, this fall. It's exciting. And the third thing that keeps coming up, as scary as it is adding a third year. UBI has always been a two-year school. Most preaching schools are two-year schools for some reason, not sure why. But what if we added a third year? What could we do with a third year? As we're talking about more practical classes, we only have so much space to give. We're not going to start sacrificing the Bible study. So if we had a third year, what if it was a practical year? What if they had internships? What if there were just more classes on how to help this person or this person, this kind of person? But also a third year would allow us to study the Bible more. And so much of what we do with our students is compacted into these tiny little terms because there's just not time to do it. They touch on every Bible, book of the Bible throughout their 2 years, but some of that is just that. It's just touching on it and that's it. So a third year is exciting. We could help our students prepare for their university work more. So many different things that could happen. There's a lot of questions with how that would work, how much it would cost, what can we do, but we're sticking right now with the question of, well, what if we did? How would that change us? What could we do? So that's UBI in a nutshell. UBI's always been more than a preacher training school. It's been a place to study God's word, grow in your faith, learn ministry skills, whether you are male, female, young, old, rap sheet, no rap sheet, for those who are eager to learn and grow in their relationship with God. Really, this is who we are and what we do. Oh, just one more example. Forgot about Slavik there. He is one of our graduates, and he has a rehab center. More commonly, we would probably call it a halfway house kind of place for people that have gotten out of prison or have hit rock bottom in their lives, and they come for a six-month or 12-month program with him. Several of our graduates have come from this program, and I just heard from him yesterday that one of the ladies in their female program right now is going to be joining us this fall. I am missing something. Oh, well. UBI is trying to train spiritual leaders who can confidently serve the church and Ukraine in relevant and practical ways. And the questions we're asking now is, how can we be relevant and practical today? So I don't know where this church is financially at all. Ben invited me, and I'm all for talking about what we're doing. But as we're looking to the future, we are looking for new partners to be able to make some of these dreams happen and continue doing what we're doing and growing what we're doing. We're praying for at least 20 students this year total. I want next year to be even more. So as you are talking, either personally or as a congregation, I would love for you to talk about UBI. And if nothing else, more than anything else, join us in prayer, because I am pretty nervous about what this future is going to be, but I'm excited about what the future is going to be. If you would like to keep up with us, you can go to either one of those sites and sign up for our newsletters that we send out. The top one is our personal family one, what we're doing and how we're feeling, and the bottom one is strictly the school, and those alternate pretty much just every other month. We'll do one and then do the other. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Love to answer any more questions you have afterwards during the break. So thank you, and God bless.